You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
On a sunny Friday, we welcome you in as we come up on 3:05 on a Friday here in Eastern Iowa. Great to have you with us from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac on the other side of the glass. It is the Gym Class program here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Lots to get to as we get into a busy, busy sports weekend. Conference tournament, Selection Sunday coming up, and a little golf tournament down in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida as well. The biggest event on the PGA Tour. All that coming up that we will talk about and preview for you. Love to hear from you on the text line, 319-366-1600. Imagine it's going to be humming today. That's 319-366-1600. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give Isaac a call, you can do so as well. And that is also 319-366-1600. As Mark joins me here on a very nice day in Eastern Iowa leading up to the St. Patrick's Day weekend, which is upon us coming up on Sunday. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And, yeah, it's basketball time here, no question about it. But a little bit of college football news that we heard about and more. Some in the NFL, some on the golf course. Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, we can't forget about the college football playoff. Oh, how I long for those bygone days of the 12-team college football playoffs. Wait, it hasn't happened yet? And wait, it's only going to happen for, what, 1 year? 2 years at the most? Ah, man, we'll talk about that. And the latest chapter in the saga of greed as far as the sports world is concerned. You like that, Isaac? You like that?
It's a perfect assessment of what's going on.
We didn't even get to a 12-team playoff yet.
It is very silly, in my opinion.
And we're up to a 14-team playoff coming up with the SEC and the Big Ten just sitting back and going, give me the money. Give me the money. About over $21 million, apparently, is going to go to those two conferences. There was talk as well about the Big Ten and the SEC getting the buys each and every year. I don't know if that's going to play out. That remains to be seen. 319-366-1600. We will get to that. But first and foremost, a lot of basketball to be discussed. And we start things off by letting you know that we've got Iowa State basketball coming up tonight. The Big 12 semifinals from T-Mobile Arena in Kansas City, as it'll be the Cyclones and the Baylor Bears. Another go around, the 2 and 3. It's been one of the very few all chalk Final Fours as far as conference tournaments this week are concerned. The first game tonight will be the Houston Cougars, number one seeded, taking on the fourth seeded Texas Tech Red Raiders. And then Iowa State, this two seed, will take on number three seeded Baylor coming up this evening. And 7:30 is the pregame time for that one. And they're looking for an 8:35 tip-off. I would not bet a whole lot of money that it's going to be at 8:35. Probably more like 8:45, 8:50. But John Eric will keep you up tonight with a lot of good basketball from Kansas City. So wanted to get that out and that information for everybody. Depending on what happens tonight, that will lead into our schedule tomorrow on KGYM. I know that we will have for you in the morning, we will have a bid from Westwood One up for grabs. And I want to say it's the America East. I want to double check that. Yes, the America East, Vermont and UMass Lowell tomorrow morning. That'll be at 9:45 with a tip-off just past 10 o'clock. If Iowa State is playing in the Big 12 championship game. We will have that for you from the Cyclone Radio Network. If Iowa State loses tonight, we will still have the Big 12 championship game, but it will be from ESPN. That'll be followed by the ACC championship. If we carry the Iowa State game and they're playing on the Cyclone Network, we will have the Pac-12 championship game for you. Getting all this, Isaac? Are you writing this down?
I'm sorry, I was doing my other producer stuff.
I sent it to you earlier today.
Yes, I do have it in the email, so we'll adjust the schedule if needed.
Mark, did you get all that, by the way?
There's basketball on KGYM.
Very good. Very good. Hey, you know what? It's March, and that's the way March should be. It's March Madness for a reason. You don't know exactly how far your team is going to go. If they do keep going, then just embrace it. Just have a good time with it. Where do you want to start? The good news or the bad news last night, Mark? Iowa State winning or Iowa losing?
I'm flipping a coin, and let's get Iowa out of the way. What do you say?
Well, that's what kind of Ohio State did last night, just get Iowa out of the way. We knew Ohio State was the hottest team in the Big Ten coming into the conference tournament. They showed it last night. Iowa defensively did not have one of their highlight nights. Ohio State put 90 up and probably could have put a little bit more than 90 up, but that was all they needed, and they get the 90-77 victory last night, ending the Big Ten tournament a one and done for the Hawkeyes. And, of course, immediately afterwards, knee-jerk reactions from a lot of the public out there on Twitter, on Facebook, wherever it may be, about this team, this program. Why isn't Fran McCaffrey on the hot seat? How many people are going to be leaving? Why can't this team get good personnel coming in? Why can't this team go to the portal? Why can't this team do this? You got to give yourself a little bit of time, Mark, after the final game of a tournament like that. Iowa is still going to be playing basketball, by the way. This just in, Hawkeyes are going to be in the NIT probably next Tuesday night at home. That remains to be seen for sure, but that field will be announced on Sunday evening as well. So you're still going to see Iowa basketball if you're a Hawkeye basketball fan out there. But boy, Mark, everything ran the gamut last night as far as reaction to the Iowa loss.
It did, and I stayed off the commentary line because of that. I wanted to let it breathe. I mean, I get the hand wringing about Iowa making only winning 5 games in the NCAA tournament in the last 25 years. That's not good. You can play these games all you want. Iowa's finished in the top half of the Big Ten 6 straight years, including this year. Only a couple 3 weeks ago, writers were extolling the virtues of Fran McCaffrey, and maybe this is his best coaching job yet. And a lot of you followers out there who really became upset last night, you agreed. Yeah, this was probably one of Fran's better coaching jobs. After beat Wisconsin, won at Michigan State, beat Penn State, won at Northwestern. 2 failures against Illinois, but the last 2 games leaves a sour taste in the mouths of Hawkeye fans. Last night, Iowa didn't lead for 1 second. 1 second. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but 18-14, 10-10 overall. Are you satisfied? Is that what you expect? Remember when this was going to be a rebuilding year? Everybody, not everybody, but some people embraced that. You got freshmen like Freeman and Harding and young Sanford and others. This is going to be a rebuilding year. Well, once Iowa starts winning a little bit, makes some headway and those impactful games that I mentioned in February, then people get all excited. Iowa was a tease this year, folks. Come on.
Yeah, and I mean, it's easy to say now that this is going to be, this was a rebuilding year. And this was a year that if Iowa made the NCAA tournament, it is, you know, it's going to be icing on the cake. It's easy to say that now that they're in the NIT. The Hawks last night, it was defense. There was no other way to say it. Gave up 52% shooting, gave up 55% shooting from beyond the arc. Didn't do a bad job rebounding, only turned the ball over 8 times, and shot 42% in their own right. I mean, those are numbers that should put you in the game. And like you said, Iowa never, ever led in that ball game last night. Never really led in, never led in the Illinois game the last 2 games of the year for all practical purposes. And now you look ahead and try to see, try to get everybody up mentally for the NIT. It's not going to be an easy situation, but I think Fran and the staff can handle that. 319-366-1600, Matt and Fairfax starting things off here today. Sanford looked like he was the only one who really gave a crap last night. The defense was atrocious. That defense last night took a step back. And you tip your hat to Ohio State, I think, Mark, because the Buckeyes, like I said, they're playing as well as anybody in the Big Ten right now. Jamison Battle had 23 in the second half last night in that game. Thornton got his. Bench came through, and since Diebler has taken over as the head coach of Ohio State, they've played more people. They played 10 last night and got 37 points off their bench. You get 37 points off your bench, you're going to be pretty hard to beat.
Very true. Defense is Iowa's problem and has been for a while. I don't know what can correct it. You know, against certain matchups, Iowa's up-tempo, outscore them, type philosophy works. And there has been a smattering of games where Iowa has played good defense. But in 5 of Iowa's losses this year, it has allowed 90 points. In one other loss, it allowed 89. I mean, you're going to have to be a Miller six-pack team to win games like that. And as is proven, that's 6 losses right there in a 14-loss season. I don't know whether it's schemes, talent, what have you, but open 3-point shots, other teams' ability to get to the rim. I think it might be a rebuilding year next year. And that may be a crucial year for Iowa and Fran McCaffrey.
319-366-1600. We will get to your thought 9049 when we talk about the Hawks, or the Cyclones coming up in just a little bit. A few texts coming down the line here. 2723 says they would like to know what Perkins and Freeman were talking to each other about, waiting for time to elapse at the end of the game. I think that was just more of a, you know, Owen Freeman going up to a senior and saying, you know what, you gave it your all, man, and I'm appreciative of that. Iowa needs to watch the Houston Cougars and see how they play defense. Well, they can watch two hours to the west and see how they play defense as well. You're dead right, 8098, Mark. He says, my guess is most of the critics have never even played basketball before. I'm with you. I think the bigger question now is what happens next year. Next year, I think, is going to be a very, very key season for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes, the way it shakes down. Now, you've got, first of all, you've got to see who is going to be back, because the portal will always creep up and take some people out. You know that you're going to maybe get somebody out of the portal. And I agree with you, Mark. I don't think there's any doubt that Iowa needs to get a frontliner in there. I don't know if you can really rest on the fact that you spent this year redshirting Ryan Mulvey and hoping that he gained some weight, strength, and hoping that he's going to be much better. Iowa's got a couple of 6'8 guys coming in next year. They've got J.R. Koch's kid, one of the top players of Illinois, one of the top players out of Canada. coming in next year as well. So, you know, more than half of your, as of right now anyway, more than half of your frontline players getting on the court are going to be freshmen and sophomores. And that's another hard recipe in Power Six basketball.
Very hard recipe. And you have some good components coming back, and the freshman of the year and Owen Freeman. Peyton Sanford had a terrific season, especially the second half. Brock Harding has come along. Josh Dix, you know, had some very good moments. Dembele, I think, improved, but that's not enough. Fran McCaffrey must go to the portal. He needs to find a guy, a four, a power forward, or a strong three like A.J. Storr. He kind of has helped Wisconsin this year. Now, there may not be many A.J. Storrs out there, but that type of player Iowa needs with what it has coming back. You can't expect these two 6'8 players, you know, to move in and contribute immediately. If they do, fine. But the glaring weakness for me, I mean, you lose Cricky. Cricky was an okay stopgap. He had his share of good games, averaged double figures, but he became a problem, matchup problem, in a few games. So my recommendation, and I don't know what DeSante Bowen's situation is going to be health-wise and otherwise, but I think you need to get a four, a power forward, a strong three-type player, and maybe a point guard.
Very thin guard court next year with only Harding, Dix, and Bowen, says Doug in Iowa City. Maybe Perkins. Perkins went through his senior day. With the COVID year, I'm not sure Perkins technically has another year. I'd have to find some information on that. I don't think he's coming back. He came back this year to play one more year. Patrick McCaffrey's got a decision to make. I'm not sure what his thoughts are going to be. I guess that
he's gone.
I would think that would be the case, but we'll find out. We'll find out sooner than later here at 3:22. Let's bring in 3530. Who joins us here on a Friday? How you doing?
Hey, good to hear you guys. Yeah, Dukes, I appreciated the Miller six-pack reference. That made me chuckle. But no, you're absolutely right. Everything you guys are saying, I think, is spot on. I do want to say this. It's kind of like a reverse mirror image, because it seems like for years Iowa football has struggled, you know, have been great on defense and struggled with offense. And unfortunately, not only the men's basketball, but I would actually kind of say that's been an Achilles of our women's team too. And, you know, they've been able to be more successful at outscoring teams. And I hope that doesn't come back to bite the women here in the big dance. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's kind of been a hallmark of Fran's teams. Defense has been a weakness. And for whatever reason, and see if you guys agree with me on this, seems like just teams can really light it up from three against the Hawkeyes. It's like you hear about a team, oh, they're in a shooting slump. Oh, they come in and play Iowa, and that shooting slump's gone. So that's kind of my two cents worth.
Yeah, good stuff right there. Hey, have a great St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for the call. 319-366-1600. And I don't want to paint a bleak picture of the future. And we can start to get into this a little bit more. We're going to get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about Iowa State tonight and last night as well, because we have a lot of Jerome Tang fans on the text line right now. I kid at this time. But you take a look at Iowa basketball, Mark, and one of the complaints last night after the end of the ball game was the apathy about this men's basketball program. And there is apathy with this program, and it's in many different forms. And, you know, it's people buy the tickets. They don't always show up at the games, though. It seems like The only time Carver Hawkeye Arena is somewhat full, and I say somewhat full because students don't come, and that's a whole different situation. And there have been many, many discussions about how to get the students involved. Listen, the students don't come in a big way to the women's game that much. They sold a lot of those to the public. It's just it's a tough walk to Carver Hawkeye Arena, I guess, from a lot of the dorms, but they'll try to get that situation rectified, especially on the men's side. But you've had good teams to watch, fun teams to watch. You've had players of the year that Iowa fans over the last handful of seasons have gotten to look at. The Chris Murrays, the Luca Garzas. You even go back before that with Peter Jock and Matt Gatens, and, you know, you can go on down the line. It's been entertaining basketball. Yes, there are different times, tip times now. The days, like we talked with Gary Dolphin on Tuesday, Mark, the days of your traveling partner and Thursday and Saturday at 7 o'clock are behind us, and they will never come back. Iowa fans, for the most part, and I think you can say college basketball fans across the country, attendance has not been what it once was. Now there are places that is not the case, and one of them is in Ames. Iowa State fans, they fill Hilton Coliseum. Doesn't matter if it's a non-conference game or a game against Kansas. They're going to fill that place up. And that's one problem that Iowa has. There's apathy with that. There's still people hanging on to the Pierre Pierce thing 22 years later. These kids that are playing right now for Iowa were not even born when Pierre Pierce was playing for the Iowa Hawkeyes. That's not a good excuse anymore. Maybe that was an excuse for 5-6 years. That's not an excuse anymore. There are just a lot of different reasons why people are not backing this Iowa men's basketball team. And you can say the success that Lisa Bluter and the women have had is also, I think, one of the bricks in there.
You know, I'd hate to blame Iowa fans for any part of Iowa's wins or losses in particular. But, Scott, I think you'd agree this has been going on for 40 years or more. 40 years or more, by and large. I remember covering Iowa basketball under George Raveling, sitting in press row in the 80s. He recruited great players, players that turned into Tom Davis's Elite Eight team. And Iowa, for whatever reason, I never put my finger on it, Iowa's crowd has always been reactionary, as opposed to a place like Ames. When the fans are into it from start to finish. Iowa fans, even back 40 years ago when Raveling was coaching, you know, despite all those great players, it was a reactionary crowd, as I said. It wasn't proactive by any means. People would sit back, and then Iowa does some great things and makes a run, whatever it may be. Certainly not like the old Iowa Fieldhouse, which many of you don't even remember. Maybe it's the construction of the arena, which I think was patterned off Purdue's Mackey Arena at one time.
And the pit in at Albuquerque.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like you say, a variety of reasons, but I just go on my memory of the fan base, and I'm not picking on you fans, but it isn't like other places. It just isn't.
Yeah. 3:28 here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. We'll get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up here in just a couple of moments. 71-48 on the text line saying they can get to Kinnick. Well, that's a Saturday, and there's tailgating involved. Big difference between a 9 o'clock Friday night game. We had, 8 o'clock Friday night game against Nebraska this year in Iowa City. And who knows, maybe there'll be a Friday night game in Iowa football future. We'll wait and see on that. As a student at the university from 84 to 88, I only attended one basketball game. Says 58 23. 0109 says, thanks for bringing this up, guys. The situation with the fans and the team needs to be discussed more, and solutions have to be discussed as well. And it's not all on the players, et cetera, et cetera. There's problems with Carver Hawkeye Arena. They've tried to address some of those in the past handful of years, but it's an arena, like you said, that is built into the ground. Once you get down to your seat, it's a trek to get back up. And a lot of those folks that are in the lower bowl in pretty good seats are getting older, getting much older right there. Kyle says, Drake and Iowa State went undefeated at home. To echo what we said, both of those programs enjoyed sellouts or near sellouts all season long. And 37.
I'd like to know from our texter, who is a former student, why he, I presume, only went to one game. Was it the? I mean, everybody, if you buy a ticket to anything, you want to be entertained, right?
Correct.
Whether you're a season ticket holder, one-time buyer, you want to be entertained. Iowa women's basketball fans know they're going to be entertained these last few years. Is it untrue with the Iowa men? I guess it is so. You can move the students down to courtside and do anything you want, ring the floor with students courtside. But if they're not entertained, you know, even though they may get in for $5, why waste my time?
True, true. Wrestling meets are also a lot louder. Basketball has an older crowd, and they sit on their hands. I say that can be a very good point. Although, I don't know, wrestling was even down a little bit. They sold it out. I mean, you were there, Isaac, for wrestling. I mean, other than Penn State, was there...
It wasn't full
a
for
full
all
house.
Of them, but usually it would be, I don't know, 75-80% full. It felt fuller than the men's basketball games, for sure.
True.
At least in the Big Ten. The non-conference was a little bit hit or miss.
Yeah. The fans that make the most noise at Carver end up sitting in the top, closer to the beverages. Makes it easier to get those beverages without having to pay for the seats, is 54-55. And get a Carver cone in there as well. TV is why, says Jeff. Well, football's on TV too. But it's a party on a Saturday. And it's not a great atmosphere at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We've said that before. We've gone over that. People have called in, texted in, said that. It is a very sterile atmosphere being there and then being at a few other college basketball arenas. I don't think that I think Iowa could do a better job entertaining and keeping the advertisers happy during timeouts, Mark. That's just a part of it's. It all adds up. It all adds up to getting butts in the seats. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. But I'll say once again, this is a historical thing for Iowa men's basketball. You know, not always, but the large percentage is what I just said. I'm not going to reiterate everything I just said. There's something about the Iowa men's basketball fan that is just different.
319-366-1600 here on the gym class on 1600 ESPN. 2537 says, in my 27 years, they've only been entertained a handful of times with Iowa men's basketball. Let's go to Kim and Marion before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at 333. Hi, Kim. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Kim?
Okay. I graduated from Jeff in 71, and then I went to Iowa. Got out of Iowa City in 76. And back then, as you know, as everyone knows, you know, games were played in the field house. Now, the great thing about that is you had that whole dormitory system on the one side of the river right there, and it was only a two-minute walk, you know, to the field house from my dorm. Now, in the wintertime during Carver Hawkeye Arena, when I was back in Iowa City to do some graduate work, students didn't want to walk in the winter, even though they had bus service. But, you know, that entails waiting for the bus and getting on a crowded bus and all that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm getting at here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So
it's the location of the arena. It needs to be in the campus.
That's one of the things that people have talked about.
Kim has a great point there.
Yeah. So you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.
Yep.
3:34, and we are going to get to Iowa State and Baylor and a look back at Kansas State coming up here in a little bit, Mark.
My grandson used to live in Hillcrest. I mean, that's a long ways from Carver-Hawkeye. No, I'm sorry, Mayflower. Out there by Iowa City West, is that right?
Correct.
He's got to make an effort to go, even though even if the team's good or bad. He'd have to make an effort to go.
Yeah.
Kim's right. That's another element.
5823 says easier to make 5 or 6 football games. It's a trek across campus at night, especially when it's cold, just like Kim mentioned a little bit earlier on here. All right, we got to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update from Mark. It is brought to you by Emil's First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. Next to the Home Depot, they're open from 4 until 11, Monday through Saturday. And they are a fully stocked bar with a family-friendly dining room. Check out their terrific menu. It is online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
In the NFL, plenty of news still. Aaron Donald of the Rams has announced his retirement after 10 seasons, during which he made 10 Pro Bowls. A great, great player. Pittsburgh has traded Kenny Pickett to the Eagles for draft picks, making Russell Wilson the clear number one Steeler quarterback. And the Bears have signed Keenan Allen, the wide receiver, which was the Keenan Allen 5 years ago. But at any rate, we'll take him. At the Players' Championship, Wyndham Clark posted his second straight 65 and has a 5-shot lead right now over the field at 14 under par. Closest pursuers, Matt Fitzpatrick, Maverick McNealy, and Xander Schauffele at 9 under. A couple good stories and bad stories there. Gary Woodland, back from brain surgery. Looks like he will make the cut. Among the casualties will be Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris. And today, maybe the biggest upset of the day, Mississippi State whipped Tennessee in the SEC tournament. Mississippi State's coach, Chris Jans.
Yep. Iowa ties.
Former National Coach of the Year at Kirkwood and a Loris grad.
Great to see that, unless you're rusty. And he's not happy about that today. 319-366-1600. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more basketball. We'll look ahead to Iowa State and Baylor coming up tonight. And Iowa State's game last night against Kansas State. We'll do that when we return. Friday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine and temperatures in the mid-50s. A nice, pleasant March day. As we head into tonight with clear skies, we'll drop down into the mid to upper 30s. And then by morning, the winds will be picking up as a cold front moves through. We'll still be mild during the day on Saturday. It will just be windy. And then colder air settles in for Sunday. Temperatures will be in the upper 30s to low 40s. And with the wind, it will feel much colder. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Hey, Heartlanders fans, this is Casey Dornbach on the Iowa Heartlanders hockey team. We'd like to invite you to a special St. Patrick's Day hockey celebration on Saturday, March 16th. We have a special bobblehead giveaway of our mascot Dash as we take on the rival Wheeling Nailers on March 16th.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quick Star. And as you know, we've been talking about all of the great fried chicken that they have available for you at your neighborhood Quick Star. It's fried chicken, roasted whole chicken, chicken tenders, and boneless wings. They are scrumptious. $4.99. You can pick up boneless wings right now, and they are ready to go for you, made fresh daily. And also, They've got all kinds of hot savings going on at your neighborhood Quickstar that makes your family's dollar go farther. Nature's Touch Butter, limit 5, they are just $2.99. As well as Quickery Cinnamon Sensation Cinnamon Rolls, a 4-count for only $3.99. As well as Quickery Classic White Dinner Rolls, 2 for $2, and a limit of 4. All that going on right now. Stop on by this weekend at your neighborhood Quickstar.
Something amazing is happening with supply chains. They're running themselves quickly and securely. That's because retailers consulted with CDW, who designed and built a Cisco security solution to defend against attacks and respond to threats. With end-to-end protection, better decisions are made in real time, so warehouse and customer data stay safe until products reach their destination. Cisco and CDW, make amazing happen. Learn more at cdw.com/cisco.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back with you at 3:40 here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up on Monday, we will have the NCAA bracket. We'll have our picks sure to go wrong. Isaac, you ready to go? You ready to make your pick of the Final Four champion?
Yes, it's going to be terrible.
Oh,
they're going to lose in the first round. I'm calling it now.
By the way, speaking of tournament finals, Wisconsin is about ready to knock off Northwestern. Wisconsin is going to win it. It's 70-61 with 10 seconds remaining in the ball game. So the Badgers are going to advance. It's going to be Wisconsin at Purdue. Purdue-Michigan State earlier today was an absolute battle royal out there. It was a Pier 5 fight, basically. Purdue getting the victory in that one. Michigan State should be okay. Now it's going to be Wisconsin going at it against the Purdue Boilermakers. 319-366-1600. Best way, and one of our texters earlier on talking about the madness of March. No, you don't have to look any further than the Atlantic 10 yesterday, where all four top seeds got beat, which may end up hurting Indiana State in the end, because you're going to get somebody in there that is not going to be, would not have been in the original 68, the bracketology all year. They're going to get in. Dayton is going to get in. So that they have a bid stealer coming out of that league, Mark. So if Indiana State does not make it, they may have the upset Thursday at the A-10 to blame.
Happens every year, doesn't it? And it's been happening every day and probably will continue into the weekend. Doesn't affect the bubble by any means, but teams like Duke and Creighton getting knocked off, and it continues to happen. And I want to squeeze in this text from 8290. It's a hike out to Hilton from the west end of campus, but the students don't seem to have an issue walking over there.
They don't seem to have an issue camping out during the day when it's bitterly cold, or sometimes even in the early hours or overnight. They don't seem to have a problem. We'll just leave it at that. Speaking of Iowa State, 76-57 victors over their favorite team in purple last night, the Kansas State Wildcats. Mark, if Iowa State turns their opponents over 19 times and scores 23 points off of turnovers and shoots 46%, this Cyclone team is going to go a long way in March Madness.
It is, and it's all predicated on defense and players sharing the ball. Different hero every night. Rob Jones coming up with 18 points last night, and it needs to play that way. Not as it did at Kansas State. Last night was dominating, and Baylor up next. I think they only met once during the regular season in it was a 2-point game down in Waco.
Yeah, I'm going to double check on that real quick here. And yes, 70-68, Baylor won that down in Waco. That is why they were the, that's ancient history, as they say. Cyclone Tim, among others, with the Mutual Admiration Society for Jerome Tang at this point. And I think he was kind of the kindest to Coach Tang. Just saying that he's kind of a weirdo. Just an observation. Hey, you do things your own way, right? And Jerome Tang's a little different. I don't think he's ever going to win an election to be mayor of Ames, though, anytime soon. Let's just put it that way.
Well, that dates to the allegations that we've talked about sign stealing, whatever it may have been in Ames. It wasn't anything, actually. Why is he a weirdo? Because he helps mop the floor? I mean, this guy's a heck of a coach.
Yes, I will say that. Now, he has not made a lot of friends with Iowa State people this year. And I'm trying to find a couple more of the... 1949 saying with his histrionic... Tang is public enemy number one to Cyclone fans. Well, that's behind you now. Iowa State played very, very well last night, especially on the defensive end. Tang got that tee about midway through the first half, and things went off the rails after that. I think it probably – he did get a few calls because of that technical. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I think that's when Iowa State got more motivated than Kansas State did watching that game last night.
No, I think so, too. From that point on, it seemed to be all Iowa State. And although 1345 said Taman Lipsey is the number one flopper.
That's what Tang said. Well, no, he actually called out his own guy as the number one flopper in the Big 12. He said Lipsey was second. Tell you what, if it is an art form. And teams practice that all the time. And if you can do that and do it well, you're going to get maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 calls a game. And in a close game in the Big 12, you know how many, if you can get 4 or 5 points off of that, that's going to help you to get victories.
It is. And I was thinking about this Iowa State Baylor game tonight and what our friend Kevin Lehman said. Maybe a couple weeks ago. Is it going to be better if you get knocked out before the championship game to get some rest? I mean, Duke and Creighton and others are going to
Tennessee
feel that. Juwan Howard's going to get a lot of rest. Not in the NCAA tournament, but Tennessee. I don't wish that on Iowa State by any means. It'd be great to see him win the Big 12 championship there. There's some truth to what Kevin was saying.
Iowa State wins tonight. I don't see any way Iowa State is not a 2 at this point on the 2 line. If they lose tonight, there's a shot that Iowa State falls to a 3. So I think there's that motivation for tonight's game. Big 12 plays their tournament championship Saturday evening. And even if you play Thursday in the early game, you've got 5 days. And Iowa State, there's a lot of speculation they're going to be in Omaha. That would be huge for the Cyclones if that plays out in that situation. And that's not very – that's 2 hours by bus. If they're – I would imagine they would bus from Ames over to Omaha, but you never know in this day and age. I think – they can be okay even if they get to the championship game. Does Iowa State have a chance to get to the 1 line? I don't think so. No. Isaac's shaking his head.
So I just don't know how. I don't know. You'd have
who
to.
Who are you going to replace?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't know who you bump down from the 1 seed is the bigger thing.
Well, Tennessee's in trouble now.
I suppose.
But they're not.
1 game?
I would say so. I mean, that's a quarterfinal loss.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit nicer on teams when they lose in the tournament schedule there.
Well, the other three aren't going away. Purdue, Houston, and UConn. Maybe Tennessee, but I'd be surprised. Just one game's going to knock them down to a two.
I can't imagine Purdue, now that they're in the semifinals, is off the one line. Houston's in the semifinals. Can't believe they would fall off the one line at this present time. Maybe the other two, yeah, Tennessee especially, but I think Purdue and Houston are locked in. They're locked in at this point. And UConn as well. Those three, Mark, are they the definitive favorites? Would you put your hard-earned cash on? I'm going to do a Kevin Lehman on you. Are you going to pick Purdue, Houston, or UConn, or the rest of the field?
I got to see the brackets first, but there is no shoe-in. You know, maybe Arizona gets hot as a number two seed. Maybe North Carolina. Maybe some other lower seed. Who knows? Maybe McNeese State. How about McNeese to the Final Four?
And Will Wade is going to be coaching somewhere else next year, by the way. He will not be back at McNeese. I can guarantee you that for next year. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class, a Friday edition of the program. Need to take one final break. We'll come back. We haven't even mentioned much about the 14-team college football playoff since the start. But, we'll discuss for a couple minutes when we return. You're listening to the Friday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is now live. The official sports book of ESPN features daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN shows and personalities like me. Bet on all your favorite sports with live in-game wagers, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download the ESPN Bet app to sign up today. I'll see you there. ESPN Bet. What a play.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 1-800-983-6530. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-983-6530, and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 1-800-983-6530 right now to schedule your vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-983-6530 now. This advertisement is paid for by Heritage for the Blind.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up on a Friday edition of the show. Don't forget, we got Cyclone basketball coming up tonight, 7:30, with the pregame from Kansas City, Iowa State, and Baylor in the semifinals of the Big 12 men's basketball tournament. 85-82 says they would rather be a 2 in Omaha than a 1 elsewhere. I would agree totally with that. I would agree. And you're not down. Cyclone Tim is telling you need to cheer up about Iowa State.
No, I'm having fun on the text line. I send him back a message. I'm all in, Tim. Go clone.
There you go. 319-366-1600. Little football before we close up shop here today and make way for Spencer on Sports from 4 until 6. Sounds like it is a formality now that there will be a new contract for the college football playoff. It's going to go from 12 to 14 after it was 4 for the first handful of years during its inception. Isaac is shaking his head. Boy, to be that number 14 team and have a shot at not only a windfall as far as great payments to your athletic budget is concerned,
but to have a chance to play that number three team in the first round. So now, Mark, we're going to be debating the number 14 team in college football.
Well, that's not a certainty, but it's a probability, according to the agreement with ESPN. Starting in 2026, it's a guaranteed 12 teams, and it could go to 14 teams, and I think most people think it will. While it's not a certainty, it's probably a likelihood. Listen, it's all about money. We don't have to go any further than that. I don't think that any given year there's more than 8 teams capable of winning the national championship. You know, okay, it's a reward to get to the playoffs. Okay, it's a reward to get to the NCAA tournament. There's not 68 teams capable of winning the national championship. Come on.
Of course not.
But the rich are getting richer. The Big Ten and the SEC are going to make about $22 million a year. What's a head scratcher is Notre Dame, the independent, gets $12 million.
Well, what's a head scratcher is that the the group of five, whoever represents that, is going to get about $1.8
million. Well, they haven't represented in the playoffs. So, you know, it's been the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, a little bit of the ACC. Big 12 is going to get $10 million less than the Big Ten. So that's the way it shakes out right now. It's only a $1.3 billion deal.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 27-23 asking, heck with the new offense. Can Iowa be 14th? Get an opportunity. Get a seat at the table and see what you can do in the brand-new college football landscape in a few years. And then, you know, it's eventually going to end up at 16 after we're at 14 for a couple of years. And then you're going to have two teams that are going to have byes after that. So it may, I can't even do the math at this point on a Friday afternoon at 3:56. So I'm not even going to attempt to do the math right there. We got a lot of basketball starting tonight with Iowa State and Baylor at 7:30. We will have the Big 12 championship in one way, shape, or form for you coming up tomorrow. We know that. Cyclone Network will provide the coverage if Iowa State is in that game. Then we'll have the Pac-12 game. We'll have the America East game tomorrow morning at 9:45. And, Sunday, 5 o'clock, selection show from Westwood One for 3 hours. The women's bracket will be revealed, and then I believe at 8:30, the NIT bracket is going to be revealed on Sunday night. Expect a home game at Carver on Tuesday night if you're an Iowa basketball fan. Great discussion with everybody out there, guys, and have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend and a safe St. Patrick's Day weekend as well. I'm looking at you, Isaac.
I'm not that irresponsible.
I know. I'm just kidding you. Mark, have a good one. We'll talk Monday.
I will. Yeah, we'll chew on it all on Monday.
All right. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is now live. The official sportsbook of ESPN features daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN shows and personalities like me.